Venice? Vivis? Vivins? I've got it. Vivins. Come on up here, Vivins. Doesn't he look good? Fantastic. You know, this is part of our, what we want to do today is just honor this, these guys and to do with Rwanda as well. So we're going to have a great Thanksgiving testimony for Vivins. Give him a hand right now.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, church. Yeah, are you happy this morning? Because you have to, because the word of Lord, the word of the Bible says, Philippians 4:4, so rejoice, and I say it again, rejoice. Hello. It's very hard to, if you ask someone to, anyway. My English is not my first language, but I will try. So it's very hard to say if someone tells you to narrate, I mean to tell your story for the whole your life, how you've grown up, how you you have come to at this point I am now. It's very hard, but 15 minutes I have. I think I will try to make it. Is that 15 or 4 or 5? Because I saw 15, eh? It's fine. So, yeah, I will try to. So, my name, as I said, they say, Vivens Mutaga. I'm married with two handsome boys, and my wife is there, Nadine. For when I say my testimony will be having two parts. So there is before and after. So I believe there is when there is after because there is before. All right. So before. I was born in a Christian family. We are Catholic, Roman Catholic. We used to go to church as a kid, and so we didn't like to, but we had to because we had to obey parents to go to church. But we didn't know what we were going to do. It was just time of meeting with the other kids and play. I grew up and things turned around when I was 16 years old. Our country known, my background is I'm Rwandese. Things turned around when we had genocide. That happened in 1994. For those who, I know most of you knows about Hotel Rwanda. If you ask someone here who lives in here, Australia, they always say Hotel Rwanda. But Hotel Rwanda is nothing compared to what happened in Rwanda. So I found myself as losing family, the entire family. So seven kids, seven brothers, dad, mom, uncles, cousins. It was very hard just to start after 1994 genocide. I couldn't see any way out, any hope. I lost hope. But before, I was happy man. But it comes to where I went to depression. But I didn't go to depression after genocide straight away, because I went back to school and study, start working. I didn't want to continue studies because I need money as protection. I knew that if I got a job, if I do something, I have money, money will be everything I wanted. So I worked, got money, 20 years, had the money to live with. It was enough, but still, as I grew up, it was enough because I felt some emptiness. in my heart. I didn't have joy. I lost my joy. My first joy I had before, I started losing joy. And that's why I said rejoice. Yeah. I started losing joy and hope. I said, now if I make an end to my life, that means make suicide, kill myself. I really planned to, because I lost. Meanwhile, I lost my business. I lost because, you know, I did different things, gain money. It didn't work. I go to for another business. It didn't work. I get money, but it didn't work. I was enough, but I was secure. Money with money, but after losing it, that's when I started losing. Getting that emptiness, and I realized that I'm alone. I can't do anything. I can't reach anywhere. So I had to. What I did is to go into depression. So I went into depression. I pushed to go into depression for about 2 years. It was long there. So I was sleeping, waking up in the morning. But I thank God for wonderful, beautiful Nadine. Can you come? Can you come, Nadine, please? Please. Yeah, she's crying. It's a tear of joy. I remember saying, it was a very tough time for me. I said, now, you know what? We are friends, and I love you, but I don't want to make you lose your life, because I'm going to lose my life. I don't want to love you anymore, so better go away. So I don't have any plan with you. And she said, I remember saying, no, she cried a lot. She likes crying, by the way. I remember she said, no, we're still young. We can do from zero. We can be something. We're still young. I'm studying. I'm doing medicine. She's a medical doctor, by the way. She's a very smart girl. She said, no, I'm studying. Be a doctor. You go back to school. We study, and you can have a life start. We can start our life from zero. And I said, no. She said to me, there was a word I didn't know. It was Ruth, chapter 16, verse 1, from verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 16, it says, when Naomi tells was telling Ruth to go, saying, no. So he said, no, your God will be my God. Where you live, that's where I live. She said that word to me, but I didn't know where. So that's when I got saved, that's when I realized that she was talking, she was prophesizing in the Bible. Thank you very much for your love. Thanks for your kindness. And you can go back. So I'll finish my testimony because it's too long, so it's very hard, but yeah. So now the life changed. My life, I'm going to talk after. After I met Jesus, things turned around completely. I heard and I remember the word that I got when I was alone, sleeping, thinking, having the thought of killing myself, make suicide. And I heard word says, you will not die, you will live. That's Psalm 118 from verse 17. Says, you will not die, you will live. So proclaim what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. When I heard that word, I couldn't get anyone because I heard the word was that it was 2003, was midnight. I didn't have anyone. I was alone in a room, but I could hear a voice speaking to me personally. And I remember I turned the lights on. I have a look. I couldn't find anyone. Because I thought somebody hiding somewhere, but I went to sleep because it was too late, and I went back to sleep, and a word spoke again. I said, you will not die. Read Psalm. I was saying, read Psalm 118, verse 17. I didn't know how to read the Bible, but it took me time just to turn the pages to go to the scripture. But I finally found the word. I said, I got surprised how God So how God knew that I'm going to kill myself. So he said, you know that you will live, but live by condition. Condition is to tell everyone that the Lord, what the Lord has done to me. Yeah, and that's what I'm doing now. Yeah, now I'm a happy man, and my joy, it's always, if you see me outside everywhere, I always smile. I'm smiling, regardless of what I passed through, because of Jesus. If it wasn't Jesus, today, I'd be nothing. So, thank you very much, Andrew, for your time, and we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your being generous, giving us time to celebrate with you, and hopefully, as you said, there's a blessing in giving than receiving. So, giving doesn't mean giving money. You give your time, you give your facility, you give your church, you give your. Thank you for that. Thanks for your love. Thanks to you, church, for having us. And God bless you.
Beautiful. You know, there's power in the. Revelation says there's power in the blood of the Lamb and the word of a testimony. Amen. And I just believe that's great power being released today through your testimony. And he is. He's always smiling since I've seen him. And that's Christ. Why don't we stand to our feet? Who's ready to worship Christ in this place? We're going to worship God. And no matter how you know, what language we sing, we love God with all our hearts. And God, we just invite you right now. God, we just give you this worship as an offering. God, we realize that this is the time in the service where we can give to you. We give you our attention, our undivided attention. And God, we just honor you with our hearts. And God, I just pray that you would take this worship, but let it be an incense to your altar, a sweet smelling incense, as your word says. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. Let's worship.
Hallelujah. The song that we're going to sing next is You're a Miracle Worker. I don't know how many of you this morning want a miracle from God, but I know I need one. And I'm just going to ask you all to just lean in. I know it's probably a song that most of you do not know, but I pray that you would go beyond not knowing and just reach out to God and sing along with us. Tell God what it is you want from him this morning. Whatever miracle you desire from him, he is a miracle worker. He's a God who is able to change your destiny. He's a God who is able to heal you. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Miracle worker, miracle worker, come and do a miracle today. You will do a miracle today. Miracle worker, miracle worker, come and do a miracle.
Tell him, church,
a miracle today. Come and do a miracle.
One more time.
A miracle today. Working God, your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God. Your name is Yahweh.
Your name is
Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God. Your name is Yahweh.
Powerful healer.
Hallelujah.
You are a powerful healer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come and heal so powerful. So powerful today. You will heal so powerful. So powerful today.
Powerful healer.
You are a powerful healer. Come and heal so powerful. So powerful today. Let us heal your power.
your power flow today.
Your name is
Yahweh, your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God, your name is Yahweh.
Come on, church, tell him up.
Your name is Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God, your name is Yahweh.
Come on, tell him.
Your name is Yahweh.
Your name is Yahweh.
Father God,
hallelujah.
We thank you for your spirit that is here, oh God. We thank you for your spirit that is setting hearts free,
yes,
oh Father
Lord.
God. We thank you, Father God, that when two or three are gathered
we
in the name of Jesus,
Jesus
you are there in their midst, oh Father God.
Hallelujah.
So right now we take acknowledge,
Lord.
Father God, that you are here, oh God.
Yes.
We acknowledge the fact that your presence is here, and where the spirit of God is, there is freedom, there is healing, there is mercy, there is forgiveness,
hallelujah.
Oh God. I
hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus, and I glorify
yes.
your name.
Oh.
We lift you higher, oh God. We thank you, Father God.
Thank you, God.
There is none
you
like you, God.
You are Alpha.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Omega. We worship you alone. You are worthy to be praised.
Sing it again.
You are.
Lord, you are worthy.
praise.
We give you glory, Lord,
and we honor you.
We give you glory, Lord.
Glory, Lord, as we honor you, you are wonderful, you are worthy, oh Lord, you are wonderful, you are worthy, oh Lord, you are wonderful.
Much, Tim. Thank you so much. I think you can say it now. May God bless you. Isn't it so amazing? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. And all the time. And God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. She's helping me. Thank you. This is my traditional attire. This is the way how Rwandese dress women. And men, Manzi, that's men. So it's not a traditional day to show you guys our traditional way, but I felt like, you know, I was missing actually to put on like this. Sometimes we do like this and then... Yeah, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm feeling so overwhelmed. It's so much joy inside my heart this morning for God's goodness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let me, before I say anything much, I just want to say big thank you to Bay City Church. Thank you so much, our pastor, Andrew and Marianne. Where is she? We are very privileged to have this opportunity, really, to worship with you. And, you know, God is good. Hallelujah. And God is everywhere, in every way. Hallelujah. Whoever you are, you know, whatever culture you come from, God is everywhere. And God is amazing. Just see the way how Australian we do our things, and look the way how African do their thing, and it's all just for His glory. Hallelujah. In a different style, but all just the same thing, just praising His name. Hallelujah. God is good. I love God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to speak a lot of, I love to talk a lot. Huntington knows. But I'm not going to say much. I'm just going to welcome our brother Alfred, who is going to give his testimony. Actually, this is a great opportunity for us, you guys, to tell you what God has done in our lives. Hallelujah. Because He's true God. I think I will have more time to speak a little bit because I've got God. Hallelujah. I used to go to church, but I've got my own God. Hallelujah. The God of Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to hear from our brother Alfred. He's going to give you, because of the little time we have of his little testimony, because I don't think he can finish all with the time he's given. And God bless you.
Hallelujah. You're lucky if you find my voice is still working, because I could have lost it. I have three slides, and one is talking about us. Those guys you've been seeing here, that is the region where we all come from. We come from the Great Lakes regions of Africa. And when we talk of Africa, some of us think it's one country. That's why I thought that you should know who is praising. From Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, and Democratic Republic of Congo. And we are in the Eastern Africa, but also Central Africa. Our next slide, by the way, those borders you see were created by our colonial masters. Originally, Africa was one Africa, one country like you know it. But afterwards, we were made to have borders, and we got them jealously, and therefore we have several conflicts over that. I'll not speak about that. Next slide will show you particular about Rwanda. The next slide will show you particular about Rwanda. When you hear Vivens giving a testimony that people died in 1994, you just think that is when they started dying. But that is way back in 1959, when the Belgians, our colonial masters, tilted the game and started dividing us along our physical features. If you have a long nose, you are a Tutsi. If you have a short nose, you are a Hutu. And that's how we came to start killing each other. And that's how we started knowing that we are different from each other. But that's not what I want to talk about, because what you see there has had great impact all through. My parents, grandparents, were thrown out of the country way back in 1959. And we were refugees in the neighboring countries for 30 years. I grew up in a refugee camp. And till 17 years, that's when I got to go back to my country. And I cannot tell you the life we lived in the refugee camp, because it is appalling. It is not worth talking about, but thank God of who we are today. And I wanted to tell you that 1994 genocide was another genocide after the 1959 genocide. And it did not start just by looking at physical features. It was well planned and well orchestrated. I'll give you one case scenario to understand, because it's not very easy. If I called all the Rwandans to stand here and I asked you to tell me who is a Hutu and who is a Tutsi, you would find it very difficult to know who. And do you know how they manage to identify each other? I will give you just one case scenario. Unless you know the ancestry of someone, you cannot know who that person is. The other way to know it was to be known to your neighbor. And so what the government that orchestrated genocide did, they divided our country to 10 houses and gave a leader in the 10 houses to know everyone. And when the genocide sparked, that's when it was easy to kill so many in a short while. Otherwise, you wouldn't know who is a Hutu and who is a Tutsi. If you are from the north, you would never recognize a Tutsi, you would never recognize a Hutu. But because of that planning and that long-term, 30 years planning, it was very easy to kill over 1 million people just in 100 days. That is another Holocaust. But I will go to the next slide and tell you about myself and specifically about my testimony when we grew up as refugees. I was born in unique circumstances. That gentleman you see there, I saw him when I was 31 years, and I kept the photo in its origin form. I never knew my dad. And unique circumstances would tell me that I was conceived, had the children out. I was conceived under rape and by a relative. And that man, after impregnating my mother, rejected me and rejected her based on something so stupid and silly. Sorry, forgive my language. Because we don't only stop on Hutu, Tutsi, and Twa. We also have what we call clans. And my father, who was a very important person in the government of Uganda, an auditor and very important auditing the government and very recognized, couldn't marry my mother because she was a primary 7 graduate, but also because she was a Muchaba and he was from the kingship, the dynasty. Just, I will not speak about clans because it will take its own course. But when he refused her and rebuked her, she definitely had to go to the refugee camp where her mother was, gave birth to me, and I grew up with my grandmother, and she had to come back to the city in Kampala to find a living. That was in 1978. Just in 1979, we had a very rude president in Uganda, Idi Amin Dada, and he was against every scholar, and that man fell a victim. They got him, beat him up, and threw him, thinking that he's dead. And so he got lost from the scene. And where he was thrown, fortunately, there were Abanyarwanda who were refugees there also. They nurtured him and grew him up. And what happens, in 1995, when he went back to Rwanda after the genocide, he said, I will not go there. I have been to Rwanda. He's a very intelligent, brilliant man. He speaks French very well, English very well, and he is a very great mathematician. But he said he had traveled. He was auditing East African countries, and he didn't want to go to Rwanda. He knew what Rwanda was, and he remained in that village, in that rural setting. When they came to Rwanda, they told me that the one supposed to be your dad, we know where he is. He never died when they almost plotted against him. I had never seen him. So I took it upon myself and went up to the village where he was and found him. I brought him over, and now I'm taking care of him in my own property and in my own house. What I wanted to tell you is my testimony is about forgiving people who have hurt you. Because you never feel like forgiving. But if you are here today and you know God, I beg of you today that you try to look into your history, people who have hurt you, and find a heart to forgive. For one reason, if you have ever recited the Lord's Prayer, there is a section that says, forgive us of our trespasses, as we do forgive those who trespass against us. I'm telling you, because of the nature of my life, I have learned that forgiving is the best. Today I'm here, I'm doing my doctorate, I'm doing my PhD, and I can tell you that I have seen blessings through my life just because I have learned to forgive. At my grandmother's house, I had an uncle who used to make us work like slaves because we were grandchildren. And recently, he also came at the same time, and he had nowhere to be, and I had to accommodate him together with this gentleman, and they were all under my roof. I would come from work, and I'm with them. We are talking in the evening. They are with my children. They are with my beautiful wife, whom I'm not seeing here. And, you know, you keep asking God, how do I live with my past? There is a way. Cast your burdens unto Jesus. And I will tell you, the scripture is very clear that do not conform to the standards of this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And the God who is perfect will put your path straight. Hallelujah. I would say much, but because of time, I will stop there. If you want the history of Rwanda or Eastern Africa, that's my area of specialty. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. Oh, my heart is, you know, sometimes when somebody speaks something that you already know and it's like it's speaking just you, you know, I was like, oh, that's me. Because before I speak anything, I have to give you a little bit of my testimony as well, just to know a little bit of, you know, more Florence. Who is Florence? You know, as you know, Florence is my name. Avera is my courage, my family name, which means hurry. So praying to God that I will remain hurry, but Jesus have done all anyway. Amen. So as he was speaking, it's the same, almost the same story. I was born somewhere else, not in my country. I was born in Uganda, and I'm Rwandese. So the way how it came, that's the same story since 1959. That's when my parents were, it was hard time for them to stay in the country because they were supposed to be killed, so they had to flee the country. And they went to Uganda, which is like next door country, and that's where I was born until I was big girl. So I remember when I was 7 years old, that was young, but I still remember the prayer I made. I come from a Christian family as well, so I knew how to pray just as 7 year old who belongs to a Christian family. So I remember a prayer I made. I told God that, God, if you really exist, would you really help me to know my country? Because, you know, our parents used to tell us, oh, Rwanda is a beautiful country. You know, there's a way how they used to tell us it's milk and honey, you know. So I just wanted to know where I belong. I had that, you know, I just wanted to know where is Rwanda? So until, you know, but it was hard because the life was so hard. You know, always, I tell you what, racism is everywhere. I remember when we were in Uganda, like my elder sisters used to to name themselves like other names, like Ugandan names, so that they can be accepted. I was lucky, I'm very lucky that they didn't call me any name that is not my, that is not Rwandese name. So, but all my sisters, elder sisters, they had to call them other, like Ugandan names, so that they can be allowed to go to school and have opportunities like others. So you can't understand until you lived in that kind of life. It was so challenging. So until God opened the door, and then we went back to Rwanda, and I thank God that I went back to see my country, my beautiful Rwanda. Hallelujah. That's why I'm proud, and you can see me now with my traditional dress, because that's who I am. Amen. So coming back again, when I was about 12, I think I went back to Rwanda when I was 10. So I grew up until 10, then I went back. I went to my own country. And then we used to pray, but I just want to make it quick and simple, just to tell you the point I came back to Jesus in a personal way. Because I used to have God of my family, just going to church because my parents used to go to church. And also I grew up and then I used to see my friends going to church and then I used to go to church. So for whole of my life I have been going to church, but it didn't help me anything and it didn't change me. Only just going to church every Sunday. So I'm just mixing, but let me come back to my story a little bit. So I come from a big family. I am a ninth born in my family out of 11. So I know what it means to share. And I'm lucky that only one went to heaven, but the rest are still alive. And they're all mamas. And so my parents, they have about maybe 27 grandchildren. So I praise God for that. And I am married, those who don't know me. Where is Huntington? I think he's busy doing something, maybe with boys. So I am married with two handsome boys, and I thank God for that. Before I got married, coming back, I hope you will get me. Before I got married, I was Christian, as I was telling you. Sometimes I'm mixing because I have to mix so that everything is going to go well, and I believe you understand. Before I got married, still I had God, but there is a point where you want to reach, you know, always. I was Christian, but there is a way how I wasn't. I used to take things of God not seriously. I used to, you know, like go to church, yes, and I have accepted Jesus by that time, but I haven't made it like a point and become a serious one, a serious Christian. So I thank God that in the process of our fiancé, our relationship, I got to know my God on a personal level, and I thank God for that. So again, I thank God that he protected my family all away from Uganda to Rwanda. Some of them died. I can't say, it's a long story about my uncles, my sisters, those who fought for the country, because there have been so much going on. We don't have much time to say. But I thank God that some died, but others are still alive. So I give God glory for that. And again, something that happened in my childhood was I was lucky that it was Christian family, because some of African families, somewhere they have something else they believe in, not God. Yeah? Okay, the big number, it's they believe in God, but others, they believe in something else. So I just find this one also something very powerful to me, to belong in a Christian family. Praise God for that. So again, I just want to tell you a little bit of my coming back to Jesus, where I just want to say, and becoming a Christian and having God as my personal savior, so that maybe another day I can tell you a little bit more of my stories if you are interested about my ABC, you know, the Rwanda, the Uganda, the killings, the all those processes. But I thank God that I came to know God, and I've got something, a piece that was missing in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the way how it came, it was like this. I used to go to church, as I told you. But, you know, there's always a voice of God. I'm telling you to everyone. If you want to hear, you will hear. If you want to, because God is always speaking to somebody, to you, telling you the right thing to do. So the way how I came fully Christian, it came at a point where I was just walking. You know, sometimes God can talk to you in any way. And I was talking. I was just walking like this. And, you know, in African way, there's a way how we can, you know, the way how people dress. I remember the way how I was raised. There's a way how we used to dress, and which was okay. So I met these Christians where they were dressing in a way, you know, in our traditional way, and actually not traditional, but what they believe in. So there's a way how I was dressing, and they looked at me and they started like cursing, you know, like as if I was, there's something wrong with me. And I thank God that from that point, that's when I came back to know who is God. Because I could see the way how they loved God. And they didn't want to even talk to me because I was just putting on something that they didn't like. Something they didn't like. You know, like when you are putting on like this jean, our pastor is putting on, and somebody is just looking at you, and then is like, oh, that's not the right way. You are not a good enough Christian. From that point, I went to my knee to know who is God. Who is really God? Because sometimes people can judge you according to the way you look. But I tell you what, just go and seek your own God and you will find him. So until I went home and I told my mom, I was really crying because, you know, it wasn't fair the way how I was treated, that I'm putting on, it was actually like short, you know, like a normal short pant. You know, I was like, goodness me. So I went to pray. I prayed. And the voice came. God speaks. Hallelujah. God speaks. And God spoke to me that it's not the way you look. It's who you are in your heart. Amen. And believe in me. Trust me. I love you. Amen. This was it. Sometimes we say things, but it's, you know what it means when it's you who it, that happened. It happened to you, you know what it means. So I thank God from that night, I came back to know who I belong and who is my God. Amen. And I can just tell you the verse that made me come back to God. You can read in Joshua 1:9. That was the same night I was just... I don't know if, because I don't have, but can somebody read for me? I don't have anything to read. I don't have my Bible here. But it's Joshua 1:9. It says, have I not commanded you that be courageous and be strong? Be strong and courageous. Amen. You can read your Bible. So it was a word of God that was telling me, be courageous and be strong. I am your God, you know. It was so much, that scripture was encouraging me that I am your God, and whenever you serve me, I will honor you. Amen. I just want to read. Is this one? Yeah. This Joshua 1:9. Yeah. 1:9. because normally I see Pastor put something there. Okay.
Joshua 1:9 says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
God bless you. Since that day, I wasn't afraid of any man. I knew I am with my God. Amen. And then I went back. I told my pastor what happened to me, and he prayed for me. And since then, I've never been the same. Amen. Day by day, I see God. Hallelujah. I see his goodness. Amen. So that is a little bit of my story. That was my turning point. Everybody has a turning point where you come back and you say, this is it. I have to stand firm and follow my God. So my friends who are here, I'm encouraging you to have your personal God and Savior. Seriously, you can go to church, but you still have so much going on. It's normal because this is our life we live in. But it's very important to have something that God is telling you and stick on that word. Don't go anywhere. Just stick on it. So anything that is trying to push me in my life, I come back to the word I had long time ago. Don't be afraid. Amen. And God is so amazing. He's always strengthening us if we stick on what he tells us to do. Amen? Amen. So in short, I haven't, as you can see, all of you, I just want maybe to talk about a little bit of the beautiful team. Thank you so much, worship team, this morning. Can you please give them a hand? Hallelujah. It was so beautiful. So that is the way how normally it wasn't too much. We didn't have some all instruments. We normally we worship God, and you know everybody has this, you know, the style. That is the style we use. And I thank God, and I thank you so much, Pastor, for this opportunity we have in the Bay City. And we meet every once a month just to glorify God. In that's why we make it's just come. Just come as you are. And as our ministry, our outreach aim says, we are very committed and passionate about to reach out to people to bring love and to bring acceptance and restoration, because I believe and I know from my personal story, people need to be accepted. People need love because there's no love. People need to be restored because so much things have happened to people. Let me tell you, it's not just only coming from Africa, but the enemy is a liar. He will steal your joy. Is that good? He will steal your joy. We are meant to have joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. But if you live in a miserable life, that's not you. The enemy is just trying to steal what you have. But we just want to bring this, the good news that, you know what? Hallelujah. God is just calling us to come, hallelujah, and get who we are and come back to the point where we get what we deserve. We deserve happiness. We deserve joy. Hallelujah. Anytime that you feel like something is taking your joy, something is taking your space, that's a liar. That's an enemy. Hallelujah. Don't accept it. I always tell my heart, every day I walk. Every day I walk. You know, sometimes in this life we get challenges after challenges. But you know what? Stand on Joshua 1:9 like me and say, I'm not going to be worried about anything because God is my God and he's my Savior. Amen? And I'm going again to read in Romans 8:28, my favorite verse. I love it. Because everything happens to us as well. I just want to encourage you. Even if you see something is really so much beyond your, you know, your control, it's not going on the right way you want it. But God turns everything around for your good. Hallelujah. He always turns things around for your good. Look at me now. But being born in another country and, you know, but you know what? God turns everything around in a good way because, look, now I can speak more languages. Yes, I speak so many languages of Ugandan. You know, I can speak Uganda. I can speak, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And God will use any circumstances to turn it in a way that will glorify his name. Hallelujah. So that's why everything that happens to us, don't take it personal, because God knows. And he knows where he's taking you. Hallelujah. Just don't be discouraged in any way, because, you know, because God is so good. Nothing happens for no reason. Because let me tell you, I have a friend who lost his dad, and he was everything to the family. So she was just sharing a story about how she came back to know the personal God, because she took her father like it's everything. You get it? But just losing her father made her to know who is God. Now he's fully depending on God. Amen? So that sometimes we lose something, but God will turn it in a way, in a good way. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? I think let me get my Bible. Praise God. So, okay. I get excited so much in my life. I get so much excited, and sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, I speak, I told you before I started. When I get excited, I just, this one and that one, and this one and that one. But I just thank God that he's God, and he's so beautiful, and he's just always there for us. So I just want to talk a little bit of, I thought it's a great opportunity to tell you about the voice of praise with you, because then you will know, and if you see voice of praise outreach, you will know what we do and what it means. So we normally, as I told you, I came to Australia in 2000, I didn't tell you this, but I came to Australia in 2010. And since I came to this country, I was Christian, and I have already got my God as my personal savior. So in 2011, that's when I was sleeping around 2 in the night, and I couldn't, you know, fully, you know, I woke up, and the voice kept on telling me, I could hear the voice, and it was clear that there is a need in the community I was in. Though I didn't know much about the area, I didn't know anything about Australia, but I knew, I had the voice that there's a need. So I used to go to community events. I love Australia for having multicultural programs and supporting in every way. I thank Australia so much for that. So I used to go there, and but I couldn't have peace, because there's something that I knew that I had to do. So I was, you know, I felt like I couldn't get peace until I started. So the voice was like, gather people and start praying. Just start praying. And I was like, just start praying. And I was like, okay. But I wasn't confident enough, because I didn't know enough. You know, I was like, English is not my first language. I don't know this area. I don't know what people like. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. And I was like, no, I can't. But until one day, God opened the door, and I was able to open my house. And I invited a few friends to come to my house, and we started praying, just like a normal prayers at home. Since then, God has been with us, and it kept on growing, and I thank God that God has the way he connects things and put everything together just to glorify his name. Actually, nothing else that God wants, just only to glorify his name. He that's what he wants, and that's what his heart is for, just for us to worship him and him alone. So since I obeyed the voice, God has been opening door, and I could see people, you know, coming, and we get, you know, refreshed, you know, in a new way, and we couldn't go far, because sometimes when we come in this country, especially Most of us, English is not our first language, and then we kind of backslide, most of us, because, you know, you don't get back to the fire you used to have because of the language limitations, because of the cultures, you know, all those things. So I thank God that day by day I see God doing and moving things around just to make sure he brings all his people together just to glorify his name and for his own purpose. Amen. So I thank God that he did everything and he connected us to the Bay City Church, beautiful church here, beautiful people. And here we are serving God happily, you know, in our own style with great opportunities. Isn't it God so good? Some of us were almost going to kill ourselves as you had the testimonies. Some of us, we came back from so far. But here we are. We are so much thankful for Australia, for my brothers doing everything in a very freely way, the freedom of speech, the freedom of, you know, of everything. I just thank God for everything that we have here. Amen. So that's what we are doing, and we are reaching out to all communities, different cultures, because God is everything in every way. Hallelujah. And the main purpose is to bring love and acceptance, because it's very needed. It's very needed. People need to have, you know, belonging where you go, and you don't feel like, you know, they, you know. So we are so privileged that God has trusted us, you know, like to do this thing, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just read one verse, and then we, yeah. Oh. So it's just a short time, Pastor. Sometimes, you know, the way we used to do it was, okay, let us read John 12:26, and that's all. That if anyone serves me, John 12:26. Pastor, how do you normally do that? Okay, that's it. Thank you so much. That's what I was looking for. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be. And also, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor him. Amen. I just want to encourage everyone. I know you can make a difference in your own environment. So please, I just want to encourage you. If you belong to even a family, wherever you are, try to make something for God. And God will do what? Will honor you. So that's why, because I know what God wants us to do, I just want to encourage you that do it, because at the end of the day, you will see the honor of God, what it means. God bless you.
Beautiful.